إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 17th session, and inshallah, yani, there should be one class remaining dealing with this topic of al-iman bil-qadri khayrihi wa sharri. Yani tonight, hopefully, inshallah, we will deal with question number 153, and perhaps 154, and if not, yani next week we'll take the last two questions together. بِإِذْنِ ta'ala. We're reading from أَعْلَامَ السُّنَّةِ الْمَنْشُورَةِ لِيَتِقَادِ طَائِفَ النَّاجِيَةِ الْمَنْصُورَةِ مَعَ الْأَعْلَامَ حَافِظِ ابْنِ أَحْمَدِ ابْنِ عَلِي الْحَكَمِي رَحِمَهَ اللَّهِ. And before we look at the topic that we have for tonight, we'd like to quickly go back and review the questions from last week, from the study guide, from lecture number 16. Question number 152. What is the meaning of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَالْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ فِي يَدَيْكَ, all good is in your two hands, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ, while pure evil cannot be attributed to you. What is the meaning of this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in light of the fact that Allah, the one free from all imperfections, is the sole creator of everything? So what is meant by this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all good is in your two hands while pure evil cannot be attributed to you? If indeed we all agree about that which there is no doubt in it, that Allah is the sole creator of everything. So what is the meaning of this statement? And we have kind of broke down the discussion into three parts, discussed the author's explanation of this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani the explanation of Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah, and B, mention an ayah or verse which clearly proves that evil is not from Allah. And finally, discuss a second explanation of this statement offered by Al-Imam Ibn Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. So first, let's look at what is the explanation that Al-Allama Hafiz Al-Hakami rahimahullah has given in explanation of these two realities, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed the creator of everything, and yet we do not attribute evil to Allah. How did the author explain this? Anybody? Naam, tafadhal, ya Salih. Please, brothers and sisters, listen carefully. Please listen carefully. Naam.
Everything that Allah decrees is absolutely khayr, because Allah is the just ruler, and He put things in their proper place. And the shar that's in the maqdoor, which is caused by this decree, is in the perspective of that which is attributed to the servant. So, and the shar comes from the servant, and it's for what they have done since before.
No. Jayid. This is a good summary of what the author has said. That indeed, all of the actions of Allah are good, pure good. Yani, from the perspective of it being attributed to Allah, or Allah being described with it, or it coming forth from Him, every action of Allah is purely good. There is no evil in it whatsoever, from any perspective. But if there is some evil in what we see happening in the creation, then it's from the perspective of the maqdur, yani the result. What has occurred as a result of what Allah decreed, and what He created, what He willed and what He created, as a result of that. And this is from the perspective of the created being. Yani it's not from the perspective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather, this is what occurs to the created being, or from the created being, as a result of what their own hands have earned. And if evil came, it came as a result of the human being's own doings. This is the summary of what the Shaykh rahimahullah said. So along with this, he mentioned evidence from the Quran. He mentioned a few ayats. So we're asking at least for one of those ayats that he used to prove the point that he's making here, that evil is not ascribed to Allah, rather evil is from the human being, from the perspective of the human being, from what their hands have earned. Naam. Ahmed. Yeah, you almost got me. Surah Ar-Rum. The meaning of the ayah?
Corruption befell the earth and the sea because of what the people's hands have done.
Naam. Corruption has spread in the land and in the sea.
From the people's hands.
Naam. As a result of what the people have done. Naam.
And Allah pays them back for some.
Yani for them to taste, to have a taste of the consequence or the result of what they have done. And hope that they will return. Now, okay, this is one ayah. This is one of the ayahs that we mentioned in the discussion last week. From the author of the book, what ayahs did he mention? Now, Musa.
Surah 43.
Surah 43. 72. 72,
72nd
ayah. Now. وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Naam. Meaning?
We did not wrong them, but they themselves wronged themselves.
We did not wrong them, but they wronged themselves. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating clearly, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ. No way, we didn't do any wrong to them, any injustice. But rather it is they themselves who have done the dhulm, the wrong. And this is the yani, so that whatever came to them, it is a result of their own hands, what they have earned. This is clear, crystal clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no injustice from Allah. If any evil, wrong, difficulty, hardship, pain, suffering, sickness, whatever befalls a person, it's a result of what they themselves have done. Now, another ayah. Now, somebody else. Somebody else. Tayyib. Inshallah, it's incumbent upon us to at least remember an evidence for any important point. At least one. At least one. Now. Naam. But we're talking about, alhamdulillah, there are a lot of evidence in the Quran for what we're talking about. A lot of evidences. But we want to kind of refresh our memories of what we actually presented and what we discussed and what the Shaykh has presented. As far as extra evidences, alhamdulillah. Naam, there's no doubt that all good comes from Allah and evil comes from ourselves. Fight. Okay, we'll suffice with this. But there are other ayats that the Shaykh has mentioned, and they are very important ayats. And from amongst those ayats that we should be focusing on, and we should be thinking about, and should be with us all the time, not just in reference to this topic. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. That no calamity has befallen you. No calamity at all whatsoever has befallen you. Except that it is what? So what your own hands have earned. What your own hands have earned. And Allah says, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And in spite of that, yani you didn't get the full consequence of what your hands have earned. Rather, Allah has pardoned a lot. So this is only a little bit of what is due to you from what you have earned. What befalls you, it's a little bit of what is due to you for what you have earned. Now.
What's
42:30. Yeah. Shura. طيب جزاك الله خير. نعم شورة. طيب جزاك الله خير. Alright, so this is like a little bit of it. And finally we want to mention also, discuss a second explanation of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it was given by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Second explanation for the same point, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything good and evil, and yet we don't ascribe evil to Allah. Yani how did Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah explain it? We give a few explanations, but yani if we can summarize some of it or any part of it. Naam. Naam, are you raising your hands a little bit? You're not sure? Fadl.
Pure evil does not come from Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pure evil does not come from Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it might appear to the people that that situation is it's evil. However, in fact, it's not evil because it's bringing about khair or there's a hikmah behind it that the servant does not know.
No, it might appear to the people as evil, but really there's good in it. Because it will bring about some good, yani, maybe there's some hikmah or wisdom or purpose behind it that will bring good. Now, this is yani, generally what he said. But the Shaykh, specifically, he said, yani, a little bit more yani, precise of what he said. He said that pure evil is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, it cannot be ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, in the maqdur, that which occurs as a result of Allah's actions, as a result of His decree or His will, His creation. If there's evil in it, then that evil, it may be evil from one perspective and good from another perspective, but not pure evil. Meaning that it might be, it appears on the surface to be evil, but if you look at it from another perspective, for the person that the affliction befell, it may be good in it for them, or good in it for someone other than them. And it will be good in it for them, or it will be good in it for someone other than them. As far as it being good in it for them, it's like he said, that there's a hikmah or wisdom or purpose why Allah decreed this, and in the long run or in the short run we will see that it will bring about some good. The purpose for which Allah decreed that thing to happen, it will become manifest. Yani it may become manifest instantly in that, for example, the person who is sick and they are treated, like the Shaykh said, with what? Cauterization. Cauterization. Then the person who is suffering the pain from that treatment, at the very same time that they are suffering pain, they are being cured from their sickness. Yani the pain that they are experiencing is the means through which they are relieved from pain. Now, so for that very person at that moment, that which from one perspective appears to be shar, painful, at the same time it is khair. It is the means of their relief from pain, from their suffering, from their sickness. And the same thing with the dentist. If anybody has an experience with a dentist, the tooth that is paining you and paining you and paining you day and night, it may be painful to take it out, but that very process of taking out which is painful is the means of relief from pain. So at the very same time, to the very same person, from one perspective it may appear to be something shar, and at the same time it is good. Or later on, yani it might bring about good as the person who suffers a calamity and is patient with it, then inshallah they will have a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it might be the means in the near, I mean in the short run, it might be the means, the calamity that befalls the person may wake them up and cause them, as in the ayat that the brother mentioned, may cause them what? To return to Allah, to correct their behavior, to repent, even now in this life. So it will bring good to them. So this is yani, some of what the Shaykh said, and he gave different examples. And yani, the point is though that we should know that there is no evil ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah decrees, it is khair, purely. Yani, it is pure good. And either will bring about good for that person, the very person that is befallen with the affliction at that moment, or later on, or will be good for someone else. Yani, that which is yani, a calamity for one person may bring about good for the other. An example the Shaykh gave is a lot of rain that came down, destroyed one man's crop, but it benefited the rest of the ummah. The earth is benefited and the people are benefited. So it was some shar to this person, but it's khair for everyone else. So it could go either way. The khair from one perspective may be for that person or maybe for someone else. It may be at that very time or it may come later. But there's definitely khair in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَجِبْتُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَقْضِي. And in some of the narration, لَمْ يَقْضِي لَهُ إِلَّا كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. Yani Allah does it, that amazing is the fear of the believer. Allah never decreed anything except that it's good for the believer. He never decreed anything except that it's good for the believer. Now, so that was our discussion last week, and we have to proceed quickly. Tonight, we are going to start with question number 153. هَلَّ الْعِبَادِ قُدْرَةٌ وَمَشِيَةٌ عَلَى أَفْعَالِهِمْ الْمُضَافَةِ إِلَيْهِمْ. يعني, do the servants, that is the human beings, have a قدرة, يعني a power or ability to do what they do, and a مَشِيَة, a مَشِيَة, a will, يعني a will to choose their actions which are attributed to them. Does the human being have a qudra, a power or ability to do? And do they have a mashia, a will to choose what they want to do? And these are the two important elements that are necessary for any action to take place. A person has to have the ability to do something and the will to do it. And the will to do it. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned a number of different places, if a person has the ability but not the will, then it won't happen. He's not going to do what he doesn't want to do. And if a person has the will to do something but not the ability, it's not going to happen, because even though they want to do it, they don't have the ability to do it. So you have to have these two things, and this is very important. If we understand the way the Shaykh has phrased the question, he's trying to get to a point, and I want to just clarify from the beginning so that we don't go a long way without understanding what's happening here. The Shaykh in his question, he hasn't made crystal clear the subject matter that he's talking about, but he made it as a general question, but actually he's talking about something specific. And what he's talking about specifically is the issue, the critical crux issue of Qadr, believing in the divine decree, and the people who deviated. Some of the people, and it's in reference to this subject matter, some of the people said that the human being doesn't have any free will, that whatever they do is just by compulsion, they're forced to do it. And the other people said that the human being has absolute free will, yani independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both of these are deviations, and the people of Sunnah is in between them. And this is the subject that the Shaykh is talking about. As we go through his answer, we will see that the first part of the answer is a refutation of the people who said the human being has no free will. That is, the Jabariyyah. And the second part of his answer is a refutation of the people who said the human being has absolute free will. That is, the Qadariyyah. And he doesn't mention them at all. But if you examine the answer carefully, you'll see that this is what he's actually refuting. And the third part of his answer, he's actually stating what is the position of Ahl Sunnah, the correct position. So the answer is in three parts. It's all together, but there are actually three parts of the answer. The first part is refutation of the Jabariyyah, people who say the human being doesn't have any free will. And the second part of the answer is refutation of the Qadariyyah, the people who say the human being has absolute free will. He's independent. The human being does whatever he wants to do. And Allah has no power over it. It's not subject to Allah's will and Allah's power and Allah's creation. And the third part of the answer is the position of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So, yani that being said, the Shaykh, he says, do the servants, the human beings, have Qudra and Mashiyah, yani the power and the will to choose the actions which are attributed to them? And this is an important part of the question also. There are three parts to this question. Yani, does the human being have Qudra, ability or power? Does the human being have Mashiyah or Irada, will, to do what they do? Do they have a choice to choose what they want to choose? And are their actions really ascribed to them in reality? Yani, are the actions of the human being really their actions, or it's not really their actions? And the Jabariyyah say it's not really their actions, because they're compelled to do it. They're not choosing to do it. They're forced to do whatever they do. So it's not really their actions. And it's attributed to them figuratively, but not in reality. Human being is not really choosing to do what he's doing, but rather they're just forced to do whatever they do. So are the actions of the human being really, truly, correctly, yani, ascribed to them in reality, that these are really their actions or not? And this in light of what? In light of the previous discussions that we have had over the last few weeks about the third and fourth level of al-Iman bil-Qadr. That is, that everything is subject to the will of Allah. That nothing happens except by the will of Allah. And everything that occurs or exists is from the creation of Allah. There's nothing that exists except that Allah created it. Now, whether good or evil, nothing happens except by the will of Allah, whether good or evil. Yani, according to Allah's will, His what? irada kawniya, as we discussed in detail. And nothing exists or occurs in the universe except that Allah is the one who has created. There's no second creator. So all the actions of the human being, really their actions, since Allah is the one who created them, or are they Allah's actions? This is the third part of the question that the Shaykh is alluding to. And in the question, the ability, the will, and then the actions. Whose actions are they? The actions that the human being does, are they Allah's actions since Allah created them, or are they the human being's actions? In spite of the fact that Allah created them. And these two groups, the Jabariyya and Qadariyya, have deviated to two extremes, and Ahlul Sunnah take the what? Middle course. Al-Wasatiyya. So the Shaykh, he says in answer, Na'am, lil-ibad kudratun ala amalihim. Yes, the servants, they have qudra, they have a power, an ability to do the actions, their actions. They have a power, Allah has given them the power and ability to do actions. وَلَهُمْ مَشِيَةٌ وَإِرَادَةٌ. And they also have a will and intent. They have a mashia, they have a will, yani to choose if they want to do something, if they intend to do something. وَأَفْعَالُهُمْ تُضَافُ إِلَيْهِمْ حَقِيقَةً. And their actions are ascribed or attributed to them in reality. And this is the first part of the answer that the Shaykh gives. He's saying what? That in answer to his question, yes, the servants do have qudra, ability, and they have mashia, will, to choose what they want to do and ability to execute their will, and their actions are ascribed to them in reality. Not figuratively, their actions are really their actions. In spite of the fact that Allah created the actions, the actions that the human being does, when the human being prays, when the human being fasts, when the human being gives charity, human beings purify themselves, whatever, makes salat, that's the human being's action. And all those actions are created by Allah. But still those actions, the human being is the one who's actually doing them. So it's really their actions. The Shaykh goes on to say in the answer, Naam, they have qudra, they have mashia, and the actions are ascribed to them in reality. They are really the actions of the human being. وَبِحَسَبِهَا كُلِّفُ وَعَلَيْهَا يُثَابُونَ وَيُعَاقَبُونَ. And this is a critical point, right? And based upon this, in consideration of this fact, that the human being does have the will to choose and the ability to execute, to do what they want to do, based on this fact, kullifu, they have been made responsible. And Allah has charged the human being with obligatory duties and forbidden certain acts. Made this obligatory upon us and this forbidden for us. So we became responsible to abide by this law, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on the fact that the human being does have a will and an ability to execute their will, to either do the obligatory thing or to engage in the haram thing or refrain from it. Human being has the ability to do that. وَعَلَيْهَا يُثَابُونَ وَيُعَاقَبُونَ. And based upon this, yani the will to choose and the ability to execute one's will, and the fact that Allah has made people responsible because of that, then the human being will then be rewarded or punished accordingly. And this is justice. That the human being be rewarded for their good deeds and punished for their evil deeds. Why? Because Allah has made us responsible to do certain things. He has shown us the right way and the wrong way. He has encouraged us to do good and warned us against evil and told us what is the consequences of each. And He has given us the will to choose to do what's right after we know that it's right and the ability to do what's right. Then if a person goes the other way, then they're responsible for that. And this is pure justice. And then the Shaykh says, وَلَمْ يُكَلِّفْهُمُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا وُسَعَهُمْ. And Allah has not made the people responsible except for that which they have the ability to do. And He didn't make us responsible for something and we don't have the ability to do it. He didn't do that. Rather, He has not made us responsible for anything except that we have the ability to do it. وَقَدْ أَثْبَتَ لَهُمْ ذَلِكَ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَوَصَّفَهُمْ بِهِ. Then the Shaykh says, this is the end of the first part of the answer. Yani, this is the answer to his question is yes. The human being does have power and will, and the human being has been made responsible for the choice of their actions, and they will be rewarded and punished accordingly, and they have not been made responsible for anything outside of their ability. And this is confirmed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has confirmed this in the book and in the sunnah, and He has described the human beings with this description. A description of what? Of being responsible and able to fulfill the responsibility that is placed upon you. And this reality has been mentioned in more than one place, and probably the most well-known of those ayats is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 286 ayat, لا يكلف الله نفسا illa wusaha. Naam. That Allah has not made any soul, any person, and anyone at all responsible for that which is above their ability. And Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, and this is from the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation, his compassion for them, and his yani goodness towards them, that he has not made them responsible for anything beyond their ability. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ يعني لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ, and the person will have that which they have earned, and against them will be that which they have earned. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, for them is that which they earn, meaning min khayr, of good. And against them is that which they have earned, meaning min shar, from evil. So people are responsible for what they have done. And we know from many hadith where the Prophet ﷺ has shown in the legislation of the Sharia that there's ease for people in types in certain situations of difficulty. Persons who's sick, persons who's traveling, and so on and so on. For example, the Prophet ﷺ said to one of his companions when he asked him about the salah, صَلُّ قَائِمًا. Pray standing. That's obligatory for you to pray standing. وَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعْ فَقَائِدًا. But if you're not able, then you can pray sitting. وَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِيعْ فَعَلَى جَنْبٍ. But if you're not able, then pray lying on your side. This is a clear proof from amongst many proofs, innumerable proofs in the Sharia, that a person is only held responsible for that which they have the ability to do. The Prophet said, pray standing. It's mandatory. But if you're not able, how you can pray sitting? So you're not held responsible for what you're not able to do. But you're held responsible for what you're able to do. You're able to stand, you have to stand. Mandatory, obligatory prayer, you have to stand. You have no choice in the matter. You're not able to stand, then sit. You're able to sit, lay on your side. Then the Shaykh, he says, so this first part of the answer, right, is a refutation of the Jabariyyah, who say that the human being, they don't have any free will. The Shaykh is saying clearly, the human being does have free will, they have the ability to execute their will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them responsible based on that reality, that you do have free will. He has made you then responsible to choose what is right and act upon it. He gave you the ability to act upon it so you could be rewarded, or if you do otherwise, then accordingly. So this is a proof against the Jabariyyah, yani in the answer of the Shaykh. Then he says, yani in spite of this, he says, yeah, the human being does have will, does have power, he is held responsible, he will be rewarded and punished, and so on. He will not be held responsible for anything above his ability. He says, وَلَكِنَّهُمْ لَا يَقْدِرُونَ إِلَّا مَا أَقْدَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَا يَفْعَلُونَ إِلَّا بِجَعْلِهِ إِيَّاهُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. Yani, however, now he goes to refute the Qadariyah, who say the human being has absolute free will. His actions are independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does whatever he wants to do. He's refuting them now. He's saying, however, yes, the human being does have yani free will, he does have power and so on, and he to execute his will. However, لا يقدرون إلا على ما أقدرهم الله عليه. But they are not able to do except that which Allah made them able to do. They are not outside of Allah's power. They are not able to do except what Allah made them able to do. ولا يشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله. And they cannot will except that Allah wills. And the human being's will is subject to Allah's will. نعم. And we talked about this in detail. A lot of evidence the Shaykh gave in our discussion of the third level of Iman and Qadr, about the will, the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yani what it means. وَلَا يَفْعَلُونَ إِلَّا بِجَعْلِهِ إِيَّاهُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. And they are not able to do anything, and they will not do anything, except that Allah has made them. That Allah, إِلَّا بِجَعْلِهِ, yani that Allah is the one who made them, إِيَّاهُمْ, made them فَاعِلِينَ, doing it. They are not doing anything except that Allah made them to do it. Everything is subject to the will of Allah, subject to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He wills and what He decides and what He pre-decreed. And this is كما تقدم في نصوص المشية والإرادة والخلق. Yani this is as has already preceded in the evidences that have been mentioned related to the المشية, the مشية of Allah, and the إرادة of Allah, and the خلق of Allah. Yani meaning that all the evidences that we mentioned concerning that everything is subject to Allah's will, nothing happens except that Allah wills it, and everything that exists or occurs is the creation of Allah. And we have mentioned a lot of evidences for each one of these points. This is just as we have proven in those textual proofs that we mentioned previously under the third and fourth level of Iman bil Qadr. So the human being doesn't have any ability except that Allah makes him able. His will is subject to Allah's will, and even whatever he does is subject to Allah making him or allowing him to do it. وَكَمَا يعني after he said this is in accordance with what we have mentioned in the textual proofs that have already been mentioned. In addition to that, he says a general proof: وَكَمَا لَمْ يُجِدُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ لَمْ يُجِدُوا أَفْعَالَهُمْ. Just as they didn't bring their own selves into existence, human being didn't create their self. Just as they didn't bring their own selves into existence, likewise they didn't bring their actions into existence. And Allah created the actions. Then they did them, yes. They actually performed the action, but Allah is the creator of the action. And we'll explain, and we already explained before, but I mean, we'll come back to this discussion. And that Allah is the creator of the action from the perspective of what? That Allah created their will to choose and the ability to execute their will. So the one who creates the origin of something is the one who creates the result from it. From that perspective. Otherwise, from the perspective of the one who is actually doing the action, the human being is doing their own action, and that's why they're responsible for it. So the Shaykh, he says, so what? So just as they didn't bring themselves into existence, likewise they also didn't bring their actions into existence. فَقُدْرَتُهُمْ وَمَشِيَتُهُمْ وَإِرَادَتُهُمْ وَأَفْعَالُهُمْ تَابِعَةٌ تَابِعَةٌ لِقُدْرَتِهِ وَمَشِيَتِهِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ وَفِعْلِهِ. So their qudra, their ability, and their mashiyah, their will, and their irada, their intent, and their actions, their af'al, are tabi'atun. Yani are following subject to the qudra of Allah, the power of Allah, and the mashiyah of Allah, and the irada of Allah, and the action of Allah. Yani the qudra, and the mashiyah, and the irada, and the actions of the human being is all subject to the power of Allah, and the will of Allah, and Allah's action. It's subject to it. It's not outside of it. And this is still part of the refutation of the Qadariyah, who say that the human beings' actions are independent. They do whatever they want to do. Allah doesn't have any control of it. In fact, some of them went to the extreme, as Shaykh Uthaymeen said, so far as to say that Allah doesn't even know what they're going to do until after they do it. These are real extremists. Others are just deviants, and these are extreme deviants. And then the Shaykh says, final proof against them, he says, is yani that their power and their ability and their will and their actions are subject to the power and the will and the action of Allah, is huwa khaliquhum wa khaliqu qudratihim wa iradatihim wa mashiyatihim wa af'alihim. Since Allah, He is the creator of them, creator of the creatures. He is their creator, and He is the creator of their qudra, their ability to do anything, and their irada and mashiyah, their will or desire or intent to do anything. Allah is also the creator of that, and He is the creator of their actions. Now, so this is the refutation against the Qadariyah, who claim that the human beings are the creator of their own actions. They do whatever they want to do. And finally, the Shaykh mentions yani the correct position, the position of Ahl Sunnah. He says, وَلَيْسَ مَشِيَتُهُمْ وَإِرَادَتُهُمْ وَقُدْرَتُهُمْ وَأَفْعَالُهُمْ هِيَ عَيْنُ مَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ كَمَا لَيْسُ هُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. Yani there, the Mashiach and the irada, the will and intent of the human beings, and their qudra, their power, ability, and their actions are not exactly the same. They are not the very same thing as the qudra of Allah, or the will, or intent of Allah, or the actions of Allah. They are separate. They are not the same. Yani Allah has qudra, human being has some qudra Allah has given to them. Allah has will, and the human being has some will that Allah has given to them. Allah has actions, human beings, they are not the same. Yani the human being's will is not Allah's will. The human being's action is not Allah's actions. Rather, Allah has a will and the human being have a will. Allah has actions and the human being have actions. They are not the same. Just as كَمَا لَيْسُ هُمْ, the human beings, just as they are not إِيَّاهُ, they are not Allah. تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. Allah is high and far removed from such. Human being is not Allah. Allah is the creator, human being is creation. بَلْ أَفْعَالُهُمْ المخلوقة لله قائمة بهم لائقة بهم مضافة إليهم حقيقة. Rather, their actions which are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their actions of the human being which are created by Allah, are قائمة بهم, yani they are performed by them, they are performed by the human being. لائقة بهم, they are appropriate, suitable, befitting of human beings, actions that are befitting of human beings, not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The actions are performed by them, are befitting of them, and are attributed to them. مُضَافَةٌ إِلَيْهِمْ حَقِيقَةً, in reality. Not figuratively, in reality. Now listen to this. The Shaykh is saying what? Their actions which are created by Allah are performed by them, are suitable and befitting of them. actions befitting of a created being, not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and are attributed to them in reality. They are really their actions, and they are really responsible for them, and they will be called to account for them and rewarded or punished accordingly. وَهِيَ مِنْ آثَارِ أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ. But these actions of the human being that are created by Allah, they are from the athar of af'alillah. They are from the effects of the actions of Allah. Yani the action of the human being is affected by the action of Allah, influenced by the action of Allah. Human being is not independent. And the Shaykh gives a good example of this, make it crystal clear. They are what? Min athari af'alillah al-qa'imati bihi. The actions of Allah, they are from the effects of the actions of Allah that He performs. Al-la'iqati bihi, that are befitting and suitable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actions are suitable for Him. And al-mudafati ilayhi haqiqatan, and are attributed to Him in reality. Yani the actions of the human being are the effects of the actions of Allah which He Himself performs and are suitable for Him and are ascribed to Him in reality. The actions of the human being are the result of Allah's actions. فالله فاعل حقيقة والعبد منفعل حقيقة. And this is يعني an important point. والله فالله فاعل حقيقة. Allah is the fa'il. He is fa'il, the one who is doing the action. Independent doer, not influenced or affected by anything or anyone outside of him. He is really the fa'il, the one who is doing the action in reality. His action is fa'il. The human being is munfa'il. But the abd is munfa'il, meaning the one who does an action, but that action has been affected and influenced by someone or something outside of them. It's not a completely, absolutely independent action. Rather, it's subject to Allah's will, and subject to Allah's decree, and subject to Allah's power, and subject to Allah's creation. So the human being is fa'il, I mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his action is an independent action. As far as the human being, he is munfa'il, yani infial, meaning he's doing an action, yes, but his action is influenced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh says what? Wallahu hadin haqiqatan. This is the example he gives. Allahu hadin haqiqatan wal abdu muhtadin haqiqatan. So Allah is the al-hadi in reality, the one who guides, who gives the guidance, and the human being is al-muhtadi, the one who is guided, yani who accepts the guidance and follows it. So the fa'il, meaning Allah is the hadi, the one who gives the guidance, and the munfa'il is the one who is influenced by Allah's guidance, he accepts it and follows it. So then what? That's his action, but his action is influenced and it is affected from Allah's action. So Allah is the hadin, he is the guide in reality, and the abd is one who has been guided in reality. وَلِهَذَا أَضَافَ كُلًّا مِنَ الْفِعْلَيْنِ إِلَى مَنْ قَامَ بِهِ. And for this reason, each one of the two actions, the action of hidayah and the action of ihtida, the action of guiding and the action of being guided, each one of these actions is attributed to the one who does it. Yani Allah is the one who's doing what? The guiding, and the human being is the one who's being guided. And he was acting upon guidance. He's acting, naam. But he's acting upon the guidance that came to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his action is influenced and affected by the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this reason, each of the actions are attributed to the one who has performed it. And so the Shaykh, he gives this as a proof for this example. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 178th Ayat. مَن يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِي. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُحْتَدِي. So whoever Allah guides, then he is one who has been guided. He is guided. So attributing al-hidayah, giving guidance to Allah, is in reality. That action is Allah's action. And attributing al-ihtida, being guided to the slave, is also a reality. That's his action in reality, being guided. فَكَمَا لَيْسَ الْهَادِي هُوَ عَيْنُ الْمُهْتَدِي فَكَذَلِكَ لَيْسَ الْهِدَايَةِ هِيَ عَيْنُ الْإِهْتِدَى. So in the same way that al-hadi, the one who is guiding, giving the guidance, is not the very same one that is being guided, al-muhtadi. Al-hadi is not al-muhtadi. They are not the same. Even though the actions are related to one another. In the same way, al-hidayah, the action of giving guidance, is not the very same action of al-ihtida, being guided. They are not the same. Giving guidance is one thing, being guided is another thing. And this is, yani, the main point here to try to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does His actions independently, and the creature's actions are not independent. Rather, they are affected and influenced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the guide, and the human being is the one who follows the guidance. So Allah's action is independent in giving the guidance, and the human being's action, he's responsible for it, he does it himself, it's attributed to him, but it's not completely independent. Rather, it is dependent upon the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of giving the guidance. And likewise, in the same way, يُضِلَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ حَقِيقَةً. Allah leads astray whomever He wills in reality. وَذَلِكَ الْعَبْدُ يَكُونُ ضَالًا حَقِيقَةً. And that one who Allah leads astray, in reality, he is misguided. وَهَكَذَا جَمِيعُ تَصَرُّفِ اللَّهِ فِي عِبَادِهِ. And this is the same way it is for all of Allah's doings. Everything that Allah does, yani, to His creatures, it is like this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is independent in His action, and the human being's action is influenced or affected by Allah's action. So these two things are separate, they are not the same. The human being does have real action that belongs to him, he's responsible for it, and Allah has real action that he actually does, and they are not the same, even though there's a relationship between them. The Shaykh says here, this being said, فَمَنْ أَضَافَ الْفِعْلَ وَالْإِنْفِعَالِ إِلَى الْعَبْدِ كَفَرَ. So whoever attributes the fi'l, the action, the independent action, and the infial, the action of the one who is affected or influenced by someone else, whoever attributes both of these to the abd, then this person has fallen into kufr. وَمَنْ أَضَافَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ كَفَرَ. And whoever attributes both of them to Allah, that Allah is the one who does independent action, and he also, you attribute to Allah that he does some action that is influenced by someone or something else, this is also kufr. وَمَنْ أَضَافَ الْفِعْلَ إِلَى الْخَالِقِ وَالْإِنْفِيَالِ إِلَى الْمَخْلُوقِ كِلَاهُمَا حَقِيقَةً فَهُوَ الْمُؤْمِنُ حَقِيقَةً. But whoever attributes the action, the independent action, to the Creator, and the action that is influenced or affected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the created being, whoever attributes the independent action to Allah and the affected or influenced action to the created being, both of these being in reality, these actions that belong to each of them being reality, whoever does it like this, then this person is a believer in reality. Yani, they are a believer in truth. That's a fact. Naam. This is what the Shaykh rahimahullah has said concerning this matter. So that we will get some further benefit, I would like to refer you, and I forgot last week to refer you back to the book of Dr. Salih As-Sali, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. The Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah, I don't remember the exact title of his book, Qadr al-Qadha. Very important book, and he has given a good discussion about last week's topic and this week also. If you have that book, you should go back and read it. Tonight I would like to read from the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in Lumat al-I'tiqad, Sufficiency of Creed, by Al-Imam ibn Qudamah rahimahullah. In this book there is a section on Qadr al-Qadha, and in this chapter Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah has explained a very important point related to our subject tonight, and it is really a summary. It is really a summary. And I want to summarize it first just to make sure that what the Shaykh has presented already, to make sure that it's clear, we put it in a summary form here from Shaykh Uthaymeen, where he says, and he makes some previous points, and he mentions some evidences and concerning the human being. For example, he mentions from Surah Al-Ghafir, 40th Surah, 17th Ayat, الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. That today every soul will be recompensed for what it have earned. Showing that the human being are responsible for their actions. And whatever they do, then they will be recompensed for it. If it wasn't for the fact, the Shaykh says, if it wasn't for the fact that a human being has choice in his actions and a power to do his actions, it wouldn't be attributed to him. Yani Allah wouldn't be saying that every person will be recompensed bima kasabat, by what he has earned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh also mentioned that Allah has commanded the servant and prohibited them. And He didn't make them responsible except for that which they have the ability to do. And here He mentions the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, we mentioned, 286. Surah Al-Baqarah 286, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah doesn't make any person responsible except according to their ability. Then He mentions from Surah Al-Taghabun, 64th Surah, 16th ayat, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُمْ. So fear Allah, observe taqwa of Allah as much as you can. According to your ability. Every person has the ability. According to your ability, that's what Allah expects from you. Observe the laws of Allah, the obligatory duties and prohibited things. According to your ability, to the best of your ability. We are responsible. We can't make excuses for ourselves. We can't make excuses for ourselves. You're able to do it, you have to do it. Allah has made a duty obligatory upon us, you have to do it. You have to force yourself. If you feel some unwillingness, you have to pressure yourself. Don't submit to your nafs that is calling you to do evil. Rather, I have the ability, I have to do it. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. According to your ability. You don't have the ability, Allah doesn't blame you. If the people have been compelled to do any action that they are not able to do, or to refrain from something they are able to refrain from, then this would be yani contrary to the justice of Allah. Yani, because the person is not able to get out of a situation that they don't have any ability in it to do or to refrain from. And then the Shaykh mentions some other things, but the point I want to get to here is where he talks about this specific topic. The tawfiq bayna qawl, kawn al-fi'l al-abd makhlukan lillahi wa kawnuhu kasaban lil-fa'ili. Yani how do we reconcile? Yani how do we make what appears to be a contradiction yani come together and be in agreement? The tawfiq between the fact that the action of the human being is created by Allah, and at the same time, it is the action that is attributed to, and yani, that attributed to the one who does it, and that person is responsible for it. And that person is responsible for it. It's to create it. It's created by Allah, but it is the action of the human being that he is responsible for. The Shaykh says, you came to know from what has preceded that the action of the human being is created by Allah. That's a fact. We concluded that previously with a number of evidences. 10 evidences the Shaykh mentioned from Quran and Sunnah. And also, we have also come to know that it is the earned, yani deed, of the slave that he will be called to account for. If he has done good, he will be rewarded with that which is better. If he has done hasan, he will be rewarded with ahsan, that which is better than it. If he has done evil, then he will only be recompensed with that which is like it, not more than it. So how do we yani, reconcile between these two things? That the action of the human being is his real action, he's accountable for it, and it's also the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The success, I mean the tawfiq, the reconciliation between these two things from the perspective of the action of the human being being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is from two yani, perspectives, from two matters, based upon two matters. That the action of the human being is created by Allah, and yet it still is the human being's action that he's responsible for. How is the action of the human being the creation of Allah? First he says, because the action of the human being is from his sifat, from his characteristics, that which he is described with. His actions is from that which he is described with. And the human being as well as their descriptions, both are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created you and that which you do, as he said in the Quran. The second perspective, which we have mentioned previously, the Shaykh is summarizing here, is that the action of the human being, it comes forth as a result of his irada qalbiyya. Yani the desire or intent that is in his heart. Something internal within him. And the qudra badaniyya. And the ability or the power, the physical power to execute what his heart desires. Person has his heart desire to do something, intent to do something. If he has the physical ability to execute that, this is how an action comes as a result of these two things. If it wasn't for these two things, then no action would take place. If there wasn't what? Irada qalbiya, an intent in the heart, desire in the heart, and qudra badaniya, a physical ability to execute that which the heart desires. Then there wouldn't be any action. And the one who created this irada and this qudra, this what is in the heart, the intent in the heart, or desire in the heart, and the ability, the one who created both of them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the creator of the sabab, the cause of something, is the creator of the musabab, the thing that happens as a result. The creator of the cause is the creator of the effect, the result. So the ascription of the action of the human being to the creation of Allah, saying that it is the creation of Allah, is a nisba, is nisba to al-musabab ila sabab. Yani it is the relationship between the effect and the cause. Yani being ascribed to Allah as His creation is the relationship between the effect and the cause. Allah causing it, and then the effect taking place. So the effect is the human being's action. The cause is Allah, who created His will and created His ability to execute His will. It is not an inscription mubashara. Yani it is not an inscription that Allah is the one who actually does the action of the human being. But it is what? What kind of inscription? It's to Allah as the creator, the cause, the creator of the ability and the will. Because the one who actually does the action in reality is the person. And for this reason, the action is described to the person as kasab and tahseel. Yani that this is his earned action, that which he himself has achieved. Because he's actually the one who's doing action. And its ascription to Allah is from the perspective of yani khalq and taqdeer. That Allah is the one who yani created it. Allah is the one who pre-decreed it. So for each one of these two types of ascription, there is some consideration. Yani from one perspective, it is attributed to Allah that He is the one who is the creator. And from the other's perspective, it is attributed to the human being. He is the one who actually is doing the action, and Allah knows best. And after this, the Shaykh briefly, and perhaps we'll stop with this, as an act of mercy and kindness and compassion. After this, the Shaykh says, وَالْمُخَالِفُونَ لِلْحَقِّ فِي الْقَضَى وَالْقَدْرَ وَالْرَدْ عَلَيْهِمْ Yani, who are those who oppose the truth in this issue of the divine pre-decree, and what is the refutation against them? In brief, who are the people who oppose the truth, yani who deviated? We mentioned that there are two groups who deviate, one going to one extreme, other one going to the other extreme. Who are those who oppose the truth in this issue, and what is the refutation against them? Those who oppose the truth in this issue, there are two groups, the Shaykh says. At-ta'ifatul ula al-jabariya. The first group is the Jabariya. The Jabariya. They say, العبد مجبور على فعله وليس له اختيار في ذلك. What is their claim? That the person, the human being, is compelled, coerced, forced to do his action, and he doesn't have any اختيار, any choice in the matter. What is the refutation against them? The Shaykh says in brief two points, two matters. The first of them is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ascribed the action of the human being to himself, to the human being, and made it as his earned deed that he is punished for or rewarded for according to it. Allah has clearly stated this. He has ascribed the action to that human being and said you will be rewarded or punished according to your action. And if the person had been forced and compelled to do this action, it would not be correct to ascribe it to him, and punishing him for it would be dhulm. It would be dhulm. How can Allah punish people for something that they did that they were compelled to do? This is a clear refutation against them, and that's sufficient. The Shaykh goes on and gives another refutation. He says that every one of us knows the difference between the action, al-fi'l al-ikhtiyari, the action that a person does by choice, wal-ibtirari, and the action that a person does under compulsion, being forced, compelled. Fil-haqiqa wal-hukm. And we know the difference between them in reality, when we see a person doing something by choice and a person doing something that they're compelled to do, or we ourselves, it happens to us. We know in reality what's the difference between them, and we also know the difference in the hukum, the ruling concerning them. There's a difference in the hukum of the person who does something willingly and the person who does something under compulsion, right? The person who does something under compulsion, Allah doesn't hold him responsible for that. So there's a difference, and we know the difference, and it's clear. For example, the Shaykh said, if somebody had violated, transgressed another person, and then claimed that I was forced to do it, I was compelled to do it, or as these people have been saying, the devil made me do it. If they violate somebody and then say I was compelled to do it, This was from the qada of Allah and qadr, and the qadr of Allah. I don't have any choice in the matter. This will be considered as foolishness. And it will be considered contrary to what is well known to all people. Yani, al-ma'lum bid-durura. Yani, that which every person out of necessity must know. Everybody knows that this is unacceptable. Nobody accepts this. Nobody accepts it. So these are two refutations against the people, the Jabariyyah, say that the human being has no choice in the matter. The second group, al-Ta'if al-Thaniyah al-Qadariyyah, the second group is the Qadariyyah. يقولون العبد مستقل بعمله ليس لله فيه إرادة ولا قدرة ولا خلق. What do they say in brief? The Qadariyyah say that the human being is independent, absolutely independent in their action. They need to do whatever they want to do. ليس لله فيه إرادة. Yani Allah's will has no role to play in this. Nor Allah's qudra, His power, has nothing to do with it. Like He can't stop it. They do whatever they want to do. وَلَا خَلْق. And Allah is not the creator of it. Rather, human beings create of His own action. This is what they say. Human beings completely independent in His action. Allah has nothing to do with it. How to refute them? Shaykh also, in brief, gives 2 points of refutation. The first point of refutation, أَنُّ مُخَالِفْ لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That this opinion, this position, this falsehood, this deviation is contrary to, is in contradiction to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu khaliqu kulli shayin. Allah is the creator of everything. Surah Ra'd. Surah Ra'd is Surah 13. I think it's 13th Surah, 16th ayah. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Safat, 96th ayah. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. That Allah, while Allah has created you and that which you do. Yani this opinion that the human being is completely independent and Allah's will and Allah's power and Allah's creation has nothing to do with the actions of a human being, in contradiction to these ayats and many, many other ayats that we have mentioned previously. And the second refutation against them, he says, أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَالِكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَكَيْفَ يَكُونُ فِي مُلْكِهِ مَا لَا تَتَعَلَّقْ بِهِ إِرَادَتُهُ وَخَلْقُهُ. So Allah, He is the Malik, the owner, the master of the heavens and the earth. And He created and He owns it and He controls it, of the heavens and the earth. So how can there be in His dominion, in His sovereignty, in His kingdom, that which has no connection to His irada and His khalq? Yani that which is not subject to Allah's will and Allah's creation. How can there be in Allah's creation that which He didn't create and that which He didn't will? So these are 2 points, brief points that the Shaykh mentioned. He mentioned a lengthy explanation of this. I gave you, like I said, rahmatan. I gave you the summary one of these two matters. And finally, I'll close with that which is known to those of you who have been attending. And the Shaykh says the divisions of irada and the difference between them. Yani we discussed this when we talked about the third level of the levels of Iman and Qadr. The irada of Allah, the will of Allah, is divided into two divisions, Kauniyya and Shara'iyya. In case somebody's here for the first time and they might not have a clue what we're talking about, then the division of Allah's irada, His will, is divided into two divisions, Kauniyya, His universal will, and Shara'iyya, His legislated will, yani that which He legislates, the laws that He makes. And the Kauniyya, that is the one that it has the meaning of al-mashi'a, yani the will of Allah. His irada qawniya means His mashi'a. Like in the saying of Allah, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَن يَضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا. Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 125th Ayat. That whoever Allah wills to guide him, he will expand his breast to Islam, make it easy for him, and joyous to him, and pleasurable. And whoever Allah wills to lead astray, He will make his chest tighten, constrained. So he will not accept it. It will be difficult for him to accept it. Impossible. He will hate it. And this shows what? This is irada qawniya, that when Allah wills something, His mashia, it has to happen. Al-irada shara'iyya, he said, that is the one that has the meaning of al-mahabba. When we say irada shara'iyya, Allah's legislative will, it means what He loves. What He loves. That is like the saying of Allah, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَيَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. That Allah wills to accept repentance from you. Meaning Allah loves to accept repentance from you. To turn to you, accepting your repentance. In Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 27th Ayah. And the difference between the two is that irada qawniyah, it's a necessity that when Allah wills something, His irada qawniyah, His mashia, it must happen. There's no escape from it. But it's not a necessity that He loves it. It may be something He loves or something He doesn't love. It may be something evil that He doesn't love, but it must happen if He wills it in His mashia, His irada qawniyah. As far as irada shar'iyah, it is a necessity that it must be something that Allah loves. It's only what Allah loves. However, it may or may not occur. It's not a necessity that it must happen. And irada qawniyah, the will of Allah, whatever Allah wills must be. It has to happen. But Allah, it may be something Allah loves and is pleased with, or maybe something He's not pleased with. But when He wills it, it has to happen. Irada shar'iyah, His legislated will, it's only that which Allah loves. But it may or may not happen. The people may do it or they may not do it. And this is the summary of what the Shaykh said. And I refer you to the essay that we sent to the class previously, early on. The essay of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen on Qadr al-Qadha, about 20 or 30 pages. If you read it, I have no doubt that you will benefit if you read it again. I have no doubt that you will benefit if you read it again. And in that essay, the Shaykh explains what we talked about tonight, and the summary of what I just read, the summary from Lumat al-Itiqad, he expanded on it and explained it in detail with a lot of ayats and a lot of examples that make things clear and explanations, so that this issue is crystal clear. He explains the two groups, Jabariyah and Qadariyah. He explains what they claim in detail and the refutation against them, and proofs, logical arguments and legislative proofs from the Quran and Sunnah in detail. And same for both of these groups. He explains them in detail. Explains in detail the position of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That we believe that the actions of the human being are really their actions. They are suitable for them. They are ascribed to them. They are accountable for them. And they are not accountable for anything beyond their ability. But they will be rewarded and punished accordingly. We believe this. And at the same time we believe that the actions of the human being are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing that the human being does, says, happens, whatever occurs in the heavens and the earth, except it is pre-decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is subject to Allah's will and Allah's power to execute His will and Allah's creation. It doesn't happen unless Allah creates it. So we have only two questions remaining, which we'll take next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and we'll be finished with this course. And the following week, inshallah, the following week, we will not have a regular class, but we will ask everyone to bring something, and we will also bring yani some food, so that we can spend one night of yani just relaxation and some food, inshallah. Next week we have yani the last two questions, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The following week we'll have a gathering, like we normally have at the end of a course, and we'll ask everybody to bring whatever you can bring. If you can cook, mashallah, good. Cook something good. But usually, but usually we don't like anybody to bring any meat or chicken, because some people might, you know, have a different understanding, and we don't want to subject anybody to anybody else's understanding. So we only want to bring meat and chicken that is dhabiha. I said dhabiha, I didn't say halal, because some people think halal is anything that they consider lawful. Dhabiha. So inshallah we will bring that, yani some people will be responsible for that. And then you can bring some fruit or some juice or some salads or any other kind of stuff, rice and things like that. Please bring something. If you don't know how to cook anything, then buy something, some nice wholesome juice or some nice fruit or something like that. Bring something, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Naam, Yaqi. The essay, we sent it by email to everybody who's in our email group. If you're not in the group, then give me your email address. Make sure you print it out clearly for me. And if you, you know, if anybody has other kinds of difficulty, let us know, inshallah. Send us an email or give us a message or tell us tonight. Give us your name and information and we'll try to work it out for whoever didn't get it, inshallah. Or what, I'll just send it out again. But anybody who still can't print it or download it or don't have internet or whatever, inshallah, we'll try to work out something. Naam. Naam. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك